I'm Richard Frebert.
And I'm Duncan McLeod.
This is Talk Central, episode 155, for the weekend starting 7 October 2015.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, the home of South Africa's best technology journalism.
On Talk Central this week, we chat about the ICT policy white paper.
Also this week, what's on at Rage, where we are right now. New Google phones, FNB's new banking app, and Blue Label buying into Cell C.
Let's get the show on the road.
Welcome to Rage, Richard.
Welcome to the noise, Duncan. what a crazy affair this is.
It is. It's the biggest Rage I've ever seen. For those who don't know, it's a big annual, what do you call it, video gaming and general consumer technology exhibition on at the Dome, organized by New Age Gaming magazine.
Yeah, the New Age Gaming guys.
And it's pretty impressive, but we're going to talk about it just now.
Yes.
Before we get there, let's do our quiz. Richard, do you want to ask the first question this week?
Yeah, definitely. Question number one. How much unlicensed high-demand spectrum does government want to serve for new wholesale open access network?
Second question. Two SABC board members resigned in Parliament this week. Who were they?
The third question. Blue Label is acquiring 45% of Cell C. How much is it going to be paying for the stake?
Then the fourth question related to that, which JSE-listed company is helping Blue Label fund the acquisition? And this company will take a 15% stake in Blue Label following the deal.
Sure. And the last question, Showmac was launched in which African country this week?
Great. Well, we'll get to those at the end of the show. But for now, let's get on with the show. And we're at Rage, as you can probably tell by all the noise in the background. We hope you can hear this podcast clearly because there's a lot of shouting and stuff going on around us. But we thought we'd record from here this week because it is a big event nowadays in the tech calendar.
Yeah.
And an impressive show this week. Richard, you got to be here a bit earlier than I did, and you've had a chance to walk around. Then we both had a walk around.
Yes.
What are your thoughts of the show this year?
So let me preface this by saying I do come here every year. I'm a big fan of the show. I love the culture. And I love what you know the gaming guys and kind of the cosplayers and the board gamers. It's always good to see what these guys are showcasing, what's next and what's new.
Yeah.
Even though I've kind of lost my knack for the kind of the hardcore, the graphics cards, I'm not chasing that kind of stuff anymore.
Sure.
So not yet to get those deals, if you know what I'm saying. But
it's too damn expensive.
Too damn expensive, yes. But one of the things I did notice this year, I mean, obviously accessories, there's a lot more accessories, a lot of audio stuff.
Mm.
But the virtual reality, I'm impressed to see so many... And virtual reality rigs being set up by the computer manufacturers, so they're demoing their technology, not the likes of the virtual reality guys bringing their own headsets in.
Yes.
So it really is a showcase of the technology, and then let's not forget the games. I mean, this is where all the latest games get previewed and announced and launched, and obviously people get lots of hands-on time with a lot of the games that you can't play until next year, which is a lot of fun.
And tons of games here, of course, and... as you were saying earlier while we were walking around, Richard, one thing about this show is that compared to other shows, is that it's a great retail experience as well. You can actually buy a lot of stands are selling stuff, and often at discounts, so you can get cheap games, you can get hands-on time with the latest stuff, and you can find out about retailers, or many of them online, that perhaps you haven't even heard of before.
Exactly. I mean, the computer component industry is still very well alive and kicking. A lot of guys buying accessories, upgrading their graphics cards, their CPUs, their memory. And there's a lot of good specials here, and very few shows still get this right, or kind of expos, where one of the reasons you come here is to get those good deals that you can't get in an average retail experience. I haven't seen any of the prices yet, but the way the guys have been shopping in the first, 2 hours of the show being open, I'm sure there's some good prices on the floor.
Oh, indeed, yeah. I see lots of people walking around with shopping bags. But we're here on a Friday morning. And I was expecting to walk in here and find this place pretty quiet, but it was almost impossible to find parking here. I had to park on the other side of the Northgate Shopping Centre.
It is unbelievable.
And I actually don't want to be here tomorrow, I suspect, because this place is going to be absolute chaos.
It is going to be heaving. It is going to
be
heaving.
But if it's this busy on a Friday, on a work day, just imagine what's going to happen for the rest of the weekend.
It just shows you how strong this industry is. I mean, the gaming, the cosplay... Board games is another. I mean, if you walk around Rage, you'll find a lot of board game retailers also, and people playing board games too. I mean, it's not something I've been doing a lot of, but if you walk around, you actually want to get into that kind of thing. So, nice to see all the new stuff in the industry.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. If I didn't have to rush off after recording this podcast, I'd definitely stick around for a few hours. I was interested to see, by the way, Rachat, that the LAN, which is obviously a big component, has been a big component of Rage for many years, has expanded to such an extent now that it not only is on the show floor, but is also wrapping around upstairs as well.
On the mezzanine level, yeah. I mean, I haven't been able to speak to the organizer to get the numbers, but I would guesstimate they're probably 1,800, 2,200 roughly.
Wow.
Because I can't really expand too much more on the records they've been hitting in terms of the number of LAN attendees.
Yes.
Obviously, power issues, connectivity. I mean, you can only accommodate so many extra people in a space. But LAN gaming. When last did you connect your computer to a LAN and play games?
I don't think I've done that in 15 years. We used to do it at home, and mates would come over and we'd actually spend the whole weekend just trying to get the network to work.
Yes. And then troubleshooting. And then
just as the weekend was finishing the games, we'd actually get it to work. And, oh, sorry, guys. But that was half the fun.
Good times. But then we got the internet, and now you're able to play across the internet to anybody around the world. But if you walk around the LAN section, which you probably won't get a chance to, but just the way these guys rig their machines, everybody's got a unique case, unique wallpaper, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've got their little lucky charm. I mean, these guys are professional amateur competitors in LAN gaming. It is incredible.
It's amazing, yeah. I'd hate to take on any of them because I'd be dead in a second. But interesting to see Telkom sponsorship here. They're spending a lot of money at this exhibition. And in fact, I see they're sponsoring, or they've got a big section here where they're having competitive gaming with $1 million in cash up for grabs.
Yeah, the Telkom Dui Gaming League. I mean, that is also one of the bigger gaming leagues in the country. And if you look at the stand they've built, I mean, each of the teams on an enclosed little booth, so none of the noise really penetrates their headphones and they don't get distracted.
Yes.
But $1 million for gaming. Who would have thought that a few years ago?
Yeah, anyway, it's an interesting show. If you can tolerate the crowds this weekend, I strongly recommend coming to have a look. If pushing your way through crowds of people is not your thing, then it's probably not for you.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Anyway, there's plenty else to talk about in tech news this week, so let's move on with it, Rachat. And the big story, without a doubt, this week is the release earlier this week on Monday, gazetting on Monday, of the Integrated National ICT Policy White Paper. And what a controversial document it has turned out to be.
Yeah.
We've been waiting for this for years, right? First, let's say that there's some great sections in this document, like the chapter on the rapid deployment of infrastructure guidelines. The industry's been waiting for this for years. It basically takes away a lot of the red tape that telecommunications operators, like fiber providers and guys who want to put up high sites, have faced in terms of going to, getting just regulatory approvals, municipal approvals, to deploy their networks. That chapter is brilliant. It's going to make it much easier for companies to roll out their infrastructure. But there are also big problems with the white paper. And the biggest problem, and there are two big problems, and they're related, and it's government's plan to build an open access, they call it a wholesale open access network, or WOAN. Now, the problem isn't so much that they want to do this, but the way they want to do this. And this comes down to the way they want to reserve spectrum for this WOAN. Now, they say, the telecommunications minister, Siyabonga Twele, says that they're modeling this on what Mexico has done and what Rwanda has done. And neither of those countries has been doing this for particularly long. In fact, Mexico is still in the throes of doing the licensing for this thing, so I'm not quite sure what we're going to be learning from them. But the government has taken a very controversial decision in that they've decided to reserve all unlicensed high-demand spectrum, which is the definition of that is spectrum that for which there's more demand than supply. So all 4G LTE spectrum will fall into that, 700 megahertz, 800 megahertz, and 2.6 gigahertz bands. All of this will be reserved for open access, for this open access network. None of it will be made available for exclusive use by the mobile operators. And these mobile operators are desperate for the spectrum. So they've basically been told, if you want access to the spectrum, you're going to have to participate as a shareholder in the sort of wholesale open access network. In effect, what the government is doing is creating an infrastructure monopoly and giving exclusive spectrum rights to this new monopoly and saying if you want to participate, if you want to get access to spectrum, which these big operators absolutely have to get, it's their lifeblood, then you have to be involved in this network operator. Now, the big operators are saying, we don't want to do this. They were very clearly in favor of ICASA's spectrum auction, which would have auctioned off the spectrum on an exclusive use basis. And I've written a couple of opinion pieces, columns on this already, but this is a disaster. The problem is not so much that the government wants to do this experiment with this wholesale open access network, and it is an experiment. It's untested anywhere in the world. The problem is they want to reserve all of the spectrum, but it gets even worse. What they've said now in this document is that they want the regulator to investigate the possibility of taking back the spectrum that's already been allocated to the operator. So they're 2G, 3G, and 4G spectrum. The government now says, well, let's take that back too, because it's also high demand spectrum. Make it available for open access.
That's basically not good.
Basically, this industry has been very successful. You can argue that the prices are too high, that Vodacom and MTN particularly have taken too long to cut data prices, took too long to cut voice prices. But you can't argue with the fact that these companies have been hugely successful in rolling out infrastructure to every corner of this country. Sure, not broadband infrastructure in the rural areas yet, because they haven't really had the spectrum to do that, especially the digital dividend spectrum.
Yeah.
But they, you know, it's estimated that about 80% of South Africans have a phone, and that's been done by these mobile operators.
Yeah.
So what do you want to do now? You want to take away their spectrum, not give them any more spectrum, which they need to expand these networks and actually take their broadband coverage into the rural areas. The guys with the balance sheets to be able to do this. And you want to bring in an untested model and force it on the industry and potentially break this model, which has proved very successful.
Yeah, I mean, I would have thought you would look at an evolution of the existing models which work and not take up an untested,
exactly.
Like you said. And that is, if that breaks, it's going to break horrendously bad for everybody, and it could set us back many, many years.
It might work, who knows, it might work. But you don't take a risk like that. If you want to test the concept of a wholesale open access network, then give that network some of the spectrum, like ICASA was proposing to do in the spectrum auction,
yes.
through the reserved lot A of spectrum. Don't reserve it all for the operator. Don't reserve it all for this idea of open access. Give the spectrum, the exclusive use spectrum, a reasonable amount of it to the operators that need it. Reserve some for the reserve some for an open access model, and then run an experiment. Maybe build a network in rural KwaZulu using that open access spectrum, maybe with some government funding, maybe with the participation of the private sector on a public-private partnership of some sort, and do a test. Maybe do it in the Eastern Cape as well. Maybe do it, have a couple of them around the country on a regional basis, where you don't commit tens of billions of rand to something that might fail. And then if it works, expand it nationally.
Yes.
But don't put all your eggs in one basket, threaten an industry that's been very successful, and you know, and literally put the industry at risk. The only good thing I can see in this is that this white paper is so ridiculous when it comes to this subject that the courts are going to throw it out. And of course the operators are going to take this to court.
Yeah, no, they're not going to let this lying down.
And they'll take it to the Constitutional Court if they have to. I mean, if they try and take away their spectrum assets, which they've spent tens of billions of rand in building networks around, there's no way that's going to pass constitutional muster.
Yeah, no.
But that section in the white paper is hugely problematic. It's unfortunately very populist, and it's the sort of thing I would have expected the Venezuelan or Zimbabwean government to come up with, not the South African government.
Do you think there's somebody that stands again from this, or is it just somebody that really didn't understand how to do this kind of thing to be able to put the right suggestions forward?
You never know. There's so much corruption going on, and you never know with what's going on behind the scenes. But my gut feel is it's ideologically driven. I get the impression that the government really doesn't like MTN and Vodacom, and they want to punish them. They've been too successful. I think they're... I really do think that there's a desire to punish these companies. And it's deeply concerning. But anyway, the story's going to unfold in the coming weeks. I hear that there's an attempt for a coordinated industry response rather than a sort of a piecemeal approach by each operator or each company that's opposed to this. So I understand that there's a move afoot to have a coordinated, very, very public, very, inclusive response to this, to try and knock it out of the park before it becomes final policy.
That's the only silver lining to this cloud, is we're going to get an industry that probably work better together in response to this. Yeah, let's take that one as a good thing.
And this industry hasn't been very good at working together in the past, so be interesting to see if they do actually pull it off. But no matter what happens here, I see these guys going to court.
Well, let's hope it doesn't get in too bad for us.
Anyway, let's move on to stuff that's a bit more positive. Did you watch the Google keynote this week, Richard?
I didn't. I missed it. I was out working every night this week, kind of missed it. But
I read up on the opportunity to watch it, and I think I have seen my next phone.
Oh, really? Everybody's been kind of raving about it.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, this clearly is Google taking on Apple to head on for the first time.
Yeah.
The phones even look a little bit like the iPhone in a way.
And the two versions, you know, the normal and the XL. Yeah. I mean,
so there's a 5-inch model and a 5.5. That's my only difficulty with this, actually. I like the 5.2-inch size. That's my perfect size. So I'm not sure whether I'd get the 5.5 or the 5. I think I may end up going for the slightly smaller model, because I think the 5.5 may be a little unmanageable, but I think the 5.5 may not be as big as the iPhone 7 Plus, because the bezel's not as big. But it's still a bezel on it, but it's not as big. They're good looking phones. They're not thrilling. They don't stand out like say a Samsung Galaxy S7 would stand out.
But they're Google's phones.
They're Google phones.
They're kind of the ones that you would, you know, the benchmark of the Android phone. And I always liked it about the in-house. But they've also rebranded from Nexus to Pixel now. So
they have.
I like that. It's very clean, very neat, but a good-looking phone, like you said.
So they're going to be the first phones running Android 7.1.
Nougat.
And, of course, as the Americans have discovered in the last couple of weeks, pronounce it Nougat.
Nougat, oh no.
Did you know that?
No.
Nougat, I was horrified.
No, please, let's not adapt that convention.
No. They're lovely-looking phones, very highly spec'd, the latest Qualcomm Snapdragon processors, 4 GB of RAM, very high resolution screen on the big one, a 1080p display on the smaller model, which is fine for a 5-inch device. But lovely devices, and you're an iPhone man. Would you consider switching to the Android world with one of these?
Look, I mean, as an iPhone user, there's more to the iPhone than the design or just to the operating system. I think it's a combination of both. What they've clearly done here is get the design design style right according to what most people really like.
Yes.
The operating system to me is going to be the thing that really makes or breaks it for me as a user to want to upgrade. I mean, Android's great and I love using it, but in my opinion, iOS is just so much stronger. I mean, the applications that you can get is still, you know, they still have this veneer to them that I don't often find with equivalent Google apps.
Okay.
I don't know. I would love to see them. I'd love to play with them.
See. But this is the first phone, as I understand it, that's got this intelligent assistant built into it. Have you been using Google Allo, by the way?
Yes.
So it's the same basic assistant, as I understand it. It effectively, I think, replaces Google Now. The idea is that this becomes your digital assistant and will help you out with everything you need, pretty much like Google Now is meant to do now, but with more artificial intelligence built into it.
I mean, they've obviously got access to all the best algorithms and data because, you know, they can optimize it for their devices.
So again, I guess it's more taking on Siri as an intelligent assistant. Still doesn't have a name as far as I know. I think it's just called the Google Assistant. But
any word on when we'll get this in South Africa?
No, not yet. I'm not even sure when they're launching overseas. I think in a couple of weeks, if I'm not mistaken. But I'd imagine that you'd be able to get them on the Orange online store first before you get them elsewhere.
Yeah.
But they're not going to be cheap. Similar pricing to the iPhone. So this is no longer a case of the old Nexus devices where you could actually get a real bargain.
Yes,
these are high-end phones with high-end components, and you can expect to pay iPhone prices for them.
That'll mean probably do well, because the more expensive things are, people tend to
flock
to it. So.
That's true. Yeah. So the high-end model, I think the 128 gigabyte 5.5-inch model is going to fetch, and I stand to be corrected, but I think $769.
Which will work out probably about 14 grand.
Yeah. So not quite as expensive as the 256 gig iPhone 7 Plus, but not far behind.
Mm.
But fantastic looking phones. I can't wait to get one in my hands and try it. I've decided I'm going this route. I'm so tired of waiting. I love Android. I'm a committed Android user, but I'm really tired of waiting for the operator or the handset makers, first of all, to develop the updates and to send them through, and then for the operator to approve them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can get streamlined updates, and then that's kind of really the most important for us early adopters. So
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, let's get our hands on that.
Indeed. Anyway, at that point, I think we need to take an ad break. Rechard will be right back after this.
Hello, world. Hello, information. Hello, uploads and downloads. Hello, streaming videos and low latency. Hello, blogs and vlogs. Hello, crystal clear video calls. Hello, increased productivity. Hello, online learning. Hello, cloud. Hello, long lost friends and missed connections. Hello, limitless possibilities and instant gratification. Say hello to premium high-speed fiber from Vox Telecom. Pleasure guaranteed. Visit voxtelecom.co.za for more information.
Chicken or beef?
Beef, please.
Chicken or beef?
Chicken.
There's so many companies offering fiber at the moment, but with Vox Telecom's premium high-speed fiber, you'll be joining the Smile High Club.
Duck or salmon, sir?
We call it business class fiber. We guarantee our uptime and can tailor our services to suit your needs and budget. Say hello to business class fiber from Vox Telecom. Visit voxtelecom.co.za for more information.
Well, welcome back to the show, and welcome back to Rage.
To the noisy Rage.
The noisy Rage. It's getting louder. I think this place is getting packed.
There are so many interesting-looking people walking around.
There are indeed.
If you want to see what cosplay is all about and see how people dress up as their favorite animation, gaming, or any other pop culture character,
yes,
this is definitely the place to go. The quality of the costume, so to speak,
yes,
is far superior to anything else I've seen in previous years. And if you follow kind of what happens overseas at E3 and these kind of things, very much on par with what you've seen online.
Looks a bit like Comic-Con, actually, right?
Oh, yes, yes.
It's pretty cool. In fact, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I had to walk all the way from the other side of the Northgate Shopping Centre and walk through the parking lot to get here. And some of the characters wandering around, really entertaining.
And everybody loves it.
Yeah, indeed. Fantastic show. So if you do get a chance to come through, but let's get on with the week's news. And you're an F&B client like me, aren't you?
No, I'm actually not with F&B.
Oh, you're with Nedbank. Yeah, that's right. So F&B's launched a new app this week, and it's actually one of the more exciting app updates I've seen from the bank in quite a while, mainly because it introduces tap and go payments finally. Only working with Android for now. There's no word yet on when this is coming to the iPhone, because apparently there has to be integration with Apple Pay.
Yeah.
But it's available on the iPhone, on Android devices, provided your phone supports NFC.
NFC, yeah.
And you can now walk up to a supported point of sale. I haven't seen one yet. I've been looking out for them. And you can just tap to make a payment of up to 200 Rand. That's the industry standard figure maximum set by the Payments Association of South Africa. And it'll be increased sometime next year to 500 Rand. So that'll cover most purchases.
That is very cool. And
so I'm going to use my phone to pay for just about everything. I hate taking
your card out,
my wallet, putting it in a machine where it can be compromised, typing my PIN code while it's being watched by the person standing next to me. Tap and go, it's fantastic. And as far as I know, it's the first bank in South Africa to launch that functionality inside the app. As I say, I haven't had a chance to test it yet, but I believe it's as simple as tapping your phone. You don't even have to open the app, apparently. You just tap your phone against the point of sale, and it pops up on the screen, and you click OK.
I've seen some terminals around, not tap and go, but there's some other contactless payment terminals, and I'm wondering if they have to roll out the entire new kit to all these stores to enable this, or if existing kit that they would have rolled out kind of has this embedded already, so it's just a matter of switching it on.
I think it's probably a combination of both. They say they're going to roll out to most of their point of sale devices by the end of this year, so it's a very aggressive rollout.
Quite quick.
I stand to be corrected here, but I think the figure that they said they're on now is 40,000 point of sale devices around the country.
Sure.
So it's quite meaningful already. but I think they've got a lot more to go.
And you need to be an FNB client to make use of this,
you
obviously.
Do.
I mean, I can't tap and pay. I can't pay with the... Because, you know, normally with your card, you can pay on any terminal.
Yes.
But, yeah, this is obviously locked in.
They've already got tap and pay NFC built into their, all their new debit and credit cards that they issue. I think all the banks are doing it, actually. I don't know if your bank cards
are... I don't think so. I know Standard Bank does that. Yeah. FNB obviously does it too.
Yeah. They've got a little... I don't know what you call the logo. I think it's some industry standard logo.
Yeah, that little Wi-Fi-looking logo.
Wi-Fi-looking logo. And apparently, and I haven't done it with my card, but apparently you just touch it, tap it on the point of sale, and that works as well. But I'm looking forward to using my phone. You know, it's actually getting to the point where you don't have to take your wallet with you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how many times do you make these small purchases? We never carry cash anymore.
Yeah.
I never carry cash because I don't want coins in my pocket all the time.
And the bank actively disincentivizes you from drawing cash.
Yeah.
In fact, they start to penalize you. With my bank, they penalize you if you withdraw more than 4 times a month, I think it is.
Sure, yeah. Cash is, I mean, we've had this conversation many times before.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is just another way of, another reason we see cash is going out the window.
Mm. So no doubt the other banks are going to do the same, and I think it's a welcome news. But they've also introduced... fingerprint authentication in the app as well. So you no longer have to type in your password when you launch the app.
Nice,
you just use your fingerprint, which is fantastic as well. It saves a lot of time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So well done to F&B. That's some great innovation coming out of them in their new app. And the last item of news this week I think it's worth touching on is the very interesting news about Blue Label buying a big chunk of Cell C. Obviously still subject to regulatory approval, but they're announcing the terms of that this week. R5.5 billion, and they are buying 45% of Cell C as part of a restructuring that will see Cell C's debt reduced from, I think it's in the region of 18 billion rand now to about 8 billion, with the other shareholders also investing equity. And big restructuring for Cell C. But what's interesting for me is the massive impact that this deal has had on the Blue Label share price. When they first announced that deal, the share price was sitting at under 10 rand a share back in December last year. Yesterday it hit over 22 rand a share.
Wow.
So if you bought the share a year ago, less than a year ago, 10 months ago, you would have made a 120% return.
Gee, that's phenomenal.
And the opportunities like that don't come along on the stock market all that often.
Yeah.
So very interesting. I've been listening to some analysts talking about it, and there's a lot of enthusiasm among investors because this is another entry into the telecommunications industry. And I think a lot of investors have become disillusioned over what's happened at MTN over the last year, with the fine in Nigeria, issues around corporate governance. I think investors are hutful with MTN, and they're looking for another in into the sector, and this gives it to them. So I think there's a lot of buying just because institutions want to get additional exposure to the sector, and buying into Blue Label gives them this exposure through Cell C.
That's the Tech Central market tip of the week.
Don't. I should put in a disclaimer. We take no responsibility for any stock trades you might do.
Have
said. Anyway, so interesting moves. I don't know if the Blue Label is now overbought or whether it's going to go even higher, but some pretty sharp movements. In fact, let me have a quick check of the share price while we're here. I think it closed at about 21.75 yesterday, if I remember correctly. But Blue Label today, it's come back a little bit. It's sitting at 21.45, but still incredible run-up over the last couple of days. If you consider that a year ago, if I can just bring up the chart here in Google.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
a year ago it was sitting at just around 10 rand a share. So
it's a beautiful curve line to see if you've got an investment there.
Yes, indeed. Unfortunately, my investments in the stock market have not been really as successful. Anyway. Rechel, shall we do our regular features of the week?
Yes, let's do that.
So, I'll get back to the show notes. Our winner this week, let's do that straight away because it's directly related to Blue Label. And our winner this week is the Levy brothers, the two brothers who founded Blue Label Telecoms, originally from Delmas on the East Rand. They've done successfully well for themselves. And hell of a nice guys, Brett and Mark. They're certainly generating massive amounts of shareholder value, so well done to them. They're our winners this week for the Cell C deal announced earlier the week. And our loser this week was pretty easy to pick, actually. We could have actually chosen anyone at this organization, pretty much, certainly at board level. And our loser this week is the SABC chairman, Obert Maguve, who in Parliament this week, and in a following press conference, absolutely refused to resign, even though Parliament has now begun the process of getting rid of the board of the SABC in order to get rid of Claudine Motsane. It's an absolute disgrace. This guy is going to get kicked out, but he's just hanging in there. Doesn't know when your time is up. When your time is up, your time is up. But he's going to be dragged out of there kicking and screaming by the looks of it. And his only real purpose there seems to have been to defend and promote the former chief operating officer of the SABC, Mr. Motsoneng. He was now general executive of corporate affairs.
With a nice bonus, I believe.
Which is now about to become the subject of another court battle.
Yeah, let's not go into those details. Please.
Anyway, it really is faulty towers over at the SABC. So, Richard, what's your pick this week?
So, I got my hands in a lot of little pies at the moment, doing a lot of shooting for a lot of different companies, doing a lot of writing, doing a bit of everything, and it's been quite tricky to kind of manage everything in a nice place. So I've been looking around for project management apps, and I'm not sure if you've played with any of them, Duncan, but they range from cheap to very expensive and easy to very complicated. Now, the one that I find that kind of works well for me, and on the free package, it's got all the functionality that I need. It's a software application called Asana. Yeah. You can go to asana.com, and it's essentially a very straightforward project management suite, but you can manage teams, you can bring in people to actually view some of those to-do lists and tasks. Okay. And I find it works really well if I'm trying to manage a bunch of people to get them to do certain things at certain places at certain times. But one of the reasons why I love this particular version or this particular application over any of the other project management applications was the mobile app that it comes with.
Oh yes.
So I can, just fire up my mobile app and I can manage and add and assign things without having to go to my computer. It's not the most exciting piece of software if you're thinking about project management applications as being exciting, but it's incredibly functional. And if this is a need that you've got, I would highly recommend Asana.com. So do go check it out.
And it's free, is it?
No, it is free. So there's free versions, but there's also versions that you can pay for or that is paid for. So if you want to unlock some of the more business features, if you're a corporate, you're going to want to go for the corporate for one of the pricing tiered packages. But like I said, I've been using it for probably about 3 months now, and I haven't had, and I've got people that I can add onto it. There's no limitation really in terms of that. It's well worth checking out. And like I said, on the free package, you can get most of the things done you need to.
Okay, cool. All right, my pick this week, and Rachat, you're not going to believe this, but I am picking a Microsoft product that runs on Android. It is a launcher for Android, of all things. It's called Arrow. It's been out for a little bit of time, and I did hear about it when it first came out, but I didn't install it. I think I just expected it not to be very good. But it's brilliant. I really love it. It's a launcher for Android, so it replaces the default theme that your Android phone ships with. And it's really clean. I like it a lot. It looks a bit like iOS in the with the icons, yeah. Especially when you group them into icon groups, I suppose.
Yes, yes.
Folders.
This is not a Windows skin for your Android phone. Let's get that right.
This is not Windows Phone. It doesn't look like Windows Phone at all. It looks like a mix between Android and iOS, I would actually say. And it's really clean. I like it that you can sort of flip through, and it shows you people you've communicated with recently. It shows you your inbox, your to-do tasks. It's got full integration with Office 365. So if you're an Office 365 subscriber like I am, you can see the latest documents you've been working on. So often you're on the go, and it's like, oh, damn, I wrote that story this morning, but I need to check what I wrote quickly. And I just click on the top story in that list.
It is very neat.
It's beautiful and clean. And what I like is, and I haven't got it set up at the moment, so I can't show you here, Rachat, but on the app screen, you can scroll upwards and you can have multiple app screens. Instead of flipping left and right, you can flip up on the app screen, which I think is a much better way of doing it.
Performance-wise?
No, it's fine. It's fine. I'm running it here on an HTC One M9, and it's a fairly high-end phone. But it's snappy, no problem at all. The one thing that seems to have disappeared, and it may just be me rather than the launcher, is the Google search widget has disappeared.
Now, I'm a little bit suspicious given this is a Microsoft product.
It's a Bing widget somewhere.
But you can still access it through Google now by holding down the home button. So that you can hold down the home button for a second and of course all the Google services pop up and you can do a search. But it's really nice. But the thing I like about it as well is that it brings in the Bing image of the day. And I love the Bing image of the day. I don't like Bing as a search engine. I much prefer Google. But the Bing the image of the day on Bing is fantastic. I used to go there every day to look at it, and then you kind of forget about it after a while because you just don't use Bing. So it brings in that image of the day.
Well, it's nice to have that, yeah.
And it changes the wallpaper on your phone. It seems to happen at around 9 o'clock every morning. And it's really nice. So if you feel like a change on your Android device, go check out Microsoft Aero Launcher in the Play Store. It's pretty cool.
Very, very interesting. Different, yeah.
Great. Rechard, should we do the quiz results?
Yes, let's get into it.
Do you want to start it off?
Yes. The first question, how much unlicensed high-demand spectrum does government want to reserve for a new wholesale open access network? And the answer is all of it.
All of it.
Scarily.
Scary, yeah. Second question, two SABC board members resigned in Parliament this week. Who were they? It's Krish Naidu and Vusi Mavuso.
Third question, Blue Label is acquiring 45% of Cell C. How much is it paying for its stake? And the answer, 5.5 billion rand.
Fourth question, which JSE-listed company is helping Blue Label fund the acquisition? And this company will take a 15% stake in Blue Label following the deal. And the answer is NetOne UEPS Technologies.
And the last question, Showmax was launched in which African country this week? The answer, Kenya.
And the interesting thing about Showmax launching in Kenya, as the noise levels go up right at the end of the show, is that they've introduced a cheaper tier there with mainly local content, which it costs about 45 rand a month.
Oh, that's
And what's also interesting is you can pay for it with M-Pesa.
Oh, wow. You see, now that's how innovation adapts to local markets.
Yes, indeed. Great stuff. Anyway, that's our show. Coming to you live from Rage. As I say, if you don't mind crowds, it's well worth getting out here this weekend to check out the show. It's very cool. I think it's the best Rage I've seen, and I've been to quite a few.
I look forward to walking around some more. Yeah, let's go do it.
And in fact, I see my next meeting has been pushed up by an hour, so I think I might just spend a bit of extra time here and maybe do a bit of shopping.
If they're not at Rage too, maybe that's why the meeting got postponed.
maybe indeed. Anyway, that's our show for the week. If you've got any feedback, you're always welcome to send us a mail. The email address is info@techcentral.co.za. Until next time, from Richard and myself, take care. Ciao.
Ciao.
Ciao.